Hello, and welcome to Dear Pop Culture Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about pop culture that is dear to us, brought to you by Comedy Here, Often Podcast Network. I'm Gina Harms, the host of the podcast, and today I'm joined by a very exciting guest. He's an actor, he's a writer. Very excited to have him here. It's Mark Anthony Messiah.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm a little overwhelmed because you started by opening and saying it's a very exciting guest. I don't know that I'm that exciting. So we'll see.
Well, I'm excited.
That's fair. That makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, to me. So yeah. So by extension, whoever's listening should be.
Right.
I would hope. Anyways, yes. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. It's weird. It's one of those weird things that when people ask me, you know, all things considered, I'm like, my life is very adequate right now. It's just plain oatmeal. Like it's filling. There's nothing really wrong with it. It's not delicious. It's just this gray mess that keeps me from being hungry. So
I like that. I like that metaphor.
Right. So yeah.
Nice. I feel that.
And you? What's going on with you? How are you?
Yeah, kind of the same. You know, I'm out there working part time and then just doing this sometimes and just trying to keep busy. And that's to keep me from the grayness
of the oatmeal.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although, I did get my first vaccine shot this weekend. Very
nice.
Thanks.
You work in hospitality or how's are you 45 years old or okay?
Yeah. I look very good for my age.
Right.
Yes. No, I've been working at a coffee shop. It's really cool that they did that. I was surprised how quickly they were like, yep, all of you workers, we're gonna get you in, and went to Canada Place this weekend, and it was like
masses.
So many people there, but
right,
we were all there to get vaccinated.
So this kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, a little bit. Very weird.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, when people get into the whole like conspiracy theory, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. But when people are saying like the government is this and the government is that, it's one thing if it was one country or two countries that were doing this, you'd be like, they're in cahoots, right? But everybody is in some secret basement with goat helmets pretending to like, we are going to take over the entire economic structure of the globe. Like there's no way that everyone would take this much of a loss economically, which is why when you see them putting restaurants first and hospitality first, it's because they're saying, yeah, we need to get these businesses back open. Like, let's go. Like this is
exactly
insane, right.
Yeah. So, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Other than that, just like watching, rewatching a bunch of movies and, what have you been into right now? Pop culture wise?
It's weird. I am a superhero nerd from as long as I can remember. So, you know, if there's a cape and it's on Netflix, I'm trying to watch it. You know, I just pushed through the Jupiter Legacy or something. I forget what it's called. You know, Josh Duhamel plays like a Superman type character, and it's like a Justice League type show. I just finished Invincible. Yeah, it's really cool. I just finished Invincible on Amazon Prime, which is also amazing. You know, The Boys, I rewatch Avengers a gajillion times over and over.
I just rewatched the like last two Avengers movies on the weekend. Right. So good, so emotional.
Right. But not if they are kind of like, yeah, it's an emotional ride. Especially when you rewatch Black Panther, you're like, damn, he's gone like forever. Like that's insane.
Yeah, so sad.
But not superhero wise, you know, I'm really into How to Get Away with Murder. Like I binge watch that. I think Viola Davis is the Meryl Streep that we don't talk about. Like I don't like to compare actors, but I think that those two women definitely need to be said more in the same sentence.
Right. Like, as it, like Viola Davis can do anything.
She's it's like, if you've never watched How to Get Away with Murder, the one question you will have is, how hydrated is this woman? Because she's always crying. And how much Kleenex do they have on set? Because there's snot all over that show.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's it's so amazing. Funny. Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of what I'm into, yeah, like The Dragon Prince, like, I usually just binge through the new stuff, right?
Yeah. So. That's good. I haven't been watching enough, like, new stuff. I've just trying to go back to like old comforts and stuff right now. But I'm always like, oh yeah, like there's just so many series that hard to like.
I mean, I did watch The Core again to see a little baby Hilary Swank, and I forgot that Hilary Swank was in The Core, and she was like 12 or whatever.
What's The Core? I don't even.
It's just like this cheesy 90s movie where like there's some experiment stops the Earth's core from spinning, and then Aaron Eckhart, Delroy Lindau, Hilary Swank, and some people are just, their names are eluding me right now, but they just build a big tube to go to the Earth's core to restart the core, like,
oh wow,
classic 90s problem. Right, 90s great. Effects everywhere. Yeah, so it's so bad, but it's so good,
right?
Yeah,
that sounds like I mean, sort of one of the plots of one of my favorite movies, Armageddon.
Yes, it's in the same era. Yeah,
they drill into the asteroid or whatever. It's like, what?
Yeah, 100%. I think in the night, if you look at it carefully, if you sort of look at the eras of film, there was the 80s with the Russians are the bad guys. So everything was Russia's bad guys. Then it moved over a bit and it was all like Taliban and people from over there are bad, and then it slid over a little bit more to like disaster, earth disaster, meteors, volcanoes, deep impact, global catastrophe. Like, it was just like you have these like chunks of films, you know, and then it was like the net, the internet's gonna take over your life, computers will turn come to life,
hackers.
So it's just like ding 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 all the way across, right?
Is like at the time, right? It's so
didn't
weird.
Kristen Bell did a movie where her cell phone was killing her or whatever,
right?
Like each era has a like the boogeyman of that era.
And now it's technology.
Totally.
God, that just reminds me. I was on the bus the other day, and it was like all of Rogers' mobile service was like down across Canada. And this old man got on the bus, and he starts talking to me, and he's like, "My phone's not working. Is yours?" And I was like, "I'm not with Rogers, but I know that it's a problem all across Canada right now." And then he just starts going on. He's like, "These hackers need to be put away." And he just like won't stop. He's like, "They have to go to jail." And I was like, "Yeah, okay."
Or it's a raccoon that chewed a wire. Who knows? Like,
I was like, "Was it hackers?"
A tree fell over in the woods.
Who knows? It was great.
Johnson fell asleep at the switchboard. It was like,
"Whoops,
oh shit, oh man."
Yeah, it was very like Homer Simpson moment.
But it does show you how dependent we are on that stuff. Like, that was the craziest thing. Like, I lost money for that day, and because of my work, I do have my own business.
Yeah.
And so my clients are like, "Hey, we were supposed to do a coaching today." And so I was like, "Were we? I guess right." Or they couldn't reach me. So it was really, it was brutal.
Yeah. That is really like horrible. We rely on it so much. Dang.
Oh, I have nothing.
Okay. Yes. I don't know. I want to go back to like the comic book stuff a little bit. have you've always been into superheroes?
I think, you know, growing up as a kid, especially in the 80s, there's not much else going on. It's either you're outside pretending to be something, or you're inside watching some cartoon that's babysitting you till your single parent gets home to make you whatever it is, you know, to eat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, and I was never really a novel kid, like a novel reading type kid. I'm not a big reader. Mm-hmm. And so sitting through a book without pictures just did not cut it for me. Like, I don't have the attention span. Even today, it's so hard to like, okay. Is there a movie version of the book? Is there an audiobook? Can I audiobook this? Because I can't, like, right. I have a hard time. Studying is a nightmare. But then, you know, when I was old enough to go buy my first comic, you're like, oh, these words and these pictures, that's how I see and that's how I learn. I'm very visual. Mm-hmm. So to get these little magazines with these people doing these extraordinary things was just like, okay, this I can get on board with. You know what I mean? And you know, the first comic I ever picked up, I think, was a Spider-Man. And no, that's a lie. It was Captain America. It was a Captain America comic. And I was just amazed at this guy with this like shield doing all this cool stuff and flipping around and stuff. And then, and then it was Spider-Man, and now Flash is my numero uno. Like, I'm a Flash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nerd. Like, my nickname is Wally West. Like, it's literally on the back of my head. It says it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah. And then Flash became that. But there's a scientific reason for all of that. But, well, scientific. I don't know if it's
scientific.
Well, okay. So I'll explain it this way. Captain America was just cool because he was like, oh, he wasn't a superhero. Because my thing is, I find that I gravitate to superheroes that could exist in this world. So a person like Captain America could exist because he was just someone who was at the peak athletic shape that a person could be. I mean, as he evolved, he became a little more superhuman, but in the beginning, he was just the ultimate human.
Just a guy doing good,
and then he had some super strength ish. He was the strongest 10 men or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when I went to Spider-Man, the age gap closed because Peter Parker was 16 and he was like this kid in high school and he wasn't like super built. So you like physically, I was this gangly teen and it was like, it's very similar and you could relate to his problems because he's in school and like, what would it be like to be a superhero in high school and then have to dip out really quick to go do some whatever. And then the Flash, and I got older, and then the Flash hit me. And that was, and for me, when I say scientific, what it boils down to for me with the Flash is that he's just a guy who runs fast. And so all of his powers come from, all of his powers come from the scientific extremes of speed. Like, if you could go this fast, then you could do this. If you could go this fast, you could do this. He's not bulletproof. He's not super strong. He's like, he's not going to live forever. He would drown if you put him underwater.
Right.
But if you could move this fast, these are the possibilities. And that, the science of it, is what made me go, this is the, he's amazing. Because he's fast. That's it, really.
Right. That is cool. It's like, yeah, like you said, like he's not bulletproof. Like,
like Superman's a gimme. Superman's a gimme. Like, okay, I'm bulletproof. I'm sunproof. I'm fireproof. I'm super strong. But imagine if I said, okay, Gina, tomorrow, all you can do is run really, really fast. Be a superhero. You'd have to figure that out. Like, I better not run into a wall or I'll die. Right. So yeah.
Cool. I guess there's a TV show, The Flash. I haven't watched it, which I should. But do you like the show? Or
the show gets a gimme for me because it's a Flash show. They do a wonderful job of you know, being the CW sort of. It's much more about the romance and the villains and the powers are kind of a secondary almost storyline to me. It's more about the people and their interactions, which is good if that's what you're into. Like, if you want to sit down and watch Barry worry about his wife for 40 minutes or whatever. But but I think that, you know, there are shows, I think they could have gone more towards a superhero, but that's just my own.
Right. Like, yeah.
My own bias.
That just reminded me, sorry, that like, I watched the show Supergirl because I think you told me to watch it. You like talked about it when I was in your acting class. Anyways, I was like, oh, I really liked that show.
Yeah, it's fun. Right. But I find with the CW, the powers that they have become the B story and their human lives become sort of the main story.
That makes sense.
Right.
For that.
Cause I think what they do, and I understand you have to give it to the layman who's like, I've never picked up a Flash comic. I don't care about Flash. I like this actor cause he's from Glee. I like that actor cause they're from that show. I'm going to follow this actor to this show. And so you've got to sort of give that viewer what they need as well. Yeah. Whereas superhero nerds are like, put him in a costume for 45 minutes. I don't care. Like, I have no issue with watching him fight for 45 minutes. I don't care.
Yeah, so, totally. I feel like the Marvel movies did a good job of making like me care about superheroes.
Yes.
But I do like action movies. So like I like the, you know, the Captain America movie where they're just like fighting. I'm like, that's cool.
Well, it's like, it goes back to like that 80s stuff where like those, they didn't care about the families of the, there was like Schwarzenegger put on some like face paint, Stallone put on some face paint, and give him a big gun, go blow up shit. Like we'd like, and why? Cause they hit my wife in a bar once. Like, that's it. That's all the B story we need. We don't care about any, what I mean?
Exactly.
Bad guy blows up at the end. You say some cool lines, smoke a cigar, and we're done, you know? So those, I used to live on those though, by the way.
Speaking of nostalgia. Which there's like the 80s action guys. Did you have like a favorite?
I mean, I wanted to be a pilot when I was way younger and way shorter and had much better eyes. The Iron Eagles and the Top Guns and the Iron Eagles and all those things. If there was a plane in it as the lead character, I was over it. I think, you know, going back, if you go back to my childhood, there's the generic guys, the Schwarzeneggers, the Bruce Willis's, Stallone was never really my favorite. I was never a Rambo fan. I think with Rambo they stayed very close to it's actually really genius. But they stay very close to the fact that he's a soldier with PTSD, and that's why he's like blowing shit up. Like there's something wrong with him. He's not really, he's kind of the anti-hero. He's
right.
Versus the guy who's been wronged and then goes to like do a bunch of stuff.
Right. I've never seen the Rambo movies. It has
with a gun.
Yeah. I know like there are classics in a sense, but I'm like in that kind of action movie, I'm like, doesn't necessarily appeal to me as much.
But on the other side of my personality, I was super into, the She's All That's and the, John Hughes is probably, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest writer of the teenage experience that has existed and does exist. I don't know anyone that has written high school movies so accurately to what they were, to what life in high school was,
It's true. They're like relatable in a way because the teen movie became obviously like such a trope and you'd be like, that's not what high school is really like. But you watch even like Ferris Bueller is like a pure fantasy, but the characters are like so real.
Totally. And I think what John Hughes kept alive in his movies, which was the part that I loved, is that things don't necessarily go your way. You know, the spoiler alert, he doesn't get the girl. You know what I mean? Like it's that girl you've been crushing on since grade 7 doesn't she dates the football player, and that's they get married, and he goes bald, and they have five kids, and now you're like, holy shit, like, that's really the way. Wow, I spent all my high school chasing you for not for nothing, but like, that did not turn out the way I planned,
right?
In my head. And that's what John Hughes did so well, as far as I'm concerned, you know. In most of his movies, where you're like, oh shit, I know that person. I know I was that person. I know that person. I know that person. So,
yeah. Do you have like a favorite John Hughes movie, or?
I mean, Breakfast Club is an easy out. That's a tough one. It's an easy out because, you know, I spent a lot of time in detention. So I related a lot. If I were to pick anyone that I was in high school, I would probably be an amalgamation of the science. I forget his name. Why do I forget his name? It's killing me. The science guy, Michael C. Hall, and Judd Nelson's character.
Wait, like Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall, sorry.
Yeah.
What did I say? Michael C. Hall. Yeah, sorry. Dexter. Yeah, Anthony Michael. Dexter. Yeah, those two always blend in my head.
The names are very.
Yeah, that's exactly. Anthony Michael Hall and Judd Nelson's character. If you were to amalgamate, you splice them together, yeah. that'd be where. It's kind of where I exist in high school.
Wow. Yeah.
As a student. Yeah. That'd be where I was. And then, you know, yeah, I think, you know, there's Goonies is also another one. I don't know if that's from here, but like Goonies is another classic of that era for me.
Totally.
But yeah, those are the ones, man. I can watch Goonies 1,000 times. This is our time down here. It's their time up there. Yeah, well, this is my wish. It's my wish, and it didn't come true. So I'm taking it back. I'm taking them all back. Like, like they're such quotables, right? So
yes,
yeah. So that was my childhood. That was it. That's like I said, my childhood was a mix of like action movies and these sappy like,
right,
like rom-com. The nerd gets the girl type movies.
Yeah. I mean, those were the best. Yeah. I mean, I definitely had that too. Like I think I just would watch like the same movies over and over again. Mm. Like, I don't know where you're like, did your parents like show you movies or were you just like,
no, it was my mother. I grew up in a single parent household. So my mother was always at work. And then my grandmother, who raised us, was always upstairs watching her stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would sometimes, you know, I'd sometimes sit at the foot of her bed and watch, you know, Days of Our Lives, As the World Turns, General Hospital, then go play outside. Like, that was, like, sort of the way, that was sort of the arc, you know? But we got a VCR, and there was a video store, like, probably six blocks from my house. So it was just a matter of, like, running over, getting a video for $2.50 or what it was and running back.
Yeah.
I lived on Saturday morning cartoons. I lived on the after school specials and you know, Degrassi. Okay, we're going to take a left turn for a second.
Okay.
We're going to go off the beaten trail from Degrassi Junior High. My brother and I, we followed that series from the Kids of Degrassi Street, which is a little known show, which is before Degrassi High or Degrassi Junior High. Yeah, there was the Kids of Degrassi Street. So they were in elementary and it was them at home, rarely in school. It was just sort of the problems in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And then when they sprouted up and got real tall, it became Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah.
So some kids in Kids of Degrassi Street completely changed characters and were somebody completely different in junior high, and some of them stayed the same, which is really, really hilarious. But what made Degrassi so fantastic is that my age and their age were parallel.
Right.
So what they were going through in the show literally was mirrored. And we had the girl who got pregnant too early. We had the kid who killed himself. We had the kid who brought a gun to school. We had a kid, like all of the, we had a kid who took drugs and became a vegetable. Like all of those things
Yeah.
were happening at the same time. And it was like, here.
Oh my God.
Right. So like if I had to watch one show forever and ever and ever on repeat and never watch anything else, just give me the entire run of Degrassi up until School's Out, the movie, like the whole thing. I'll just watch it.
Oh, that's amazing.
The greatest ever.
God, I never saw it. I feel like it's such a blind spot for me. Like, I'm like, that's like a Canadian classic. But
classic. Get on it. The new generation is good because it touches on the stuff that kids have to deal with today, which is like internet prowlers, texting and sexting, being roofied, like all the stuff that we didn't really have to deal with in my age.
Yeah.
But if you watch the old Degrassi episodes, you'd be like, nope, I knew that kid. Nope, I was that kid. Nope. Like the kid who came to school with a black eye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like all that shit, right? One of the best episodes, sorry to interrupt, but one of the best episodes was, and something that has happened to all of us, is the kid who had an abusive dad, which is not funny, but what is funny is the similarity is the kid's dad comes home and what happened is he's given his friends the last pops that are in the fridge. So the dad comes home, he's like, what happened to all the pop? And he's like, and it's like he freaks out and then everyone rushes out. And I just remember those times when you're at your friend's house and something goes wrong and they're about to get spanked or whatever. And you're like, I gotta go. Okay. I'll see you at school tomorrow. You're like, and it's like your fault and it's because of you, but they took the blame for you. And you're like, shit. Ah. Stephanie's in trouble because of me. I gotta go.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So yeah. So there's so many moments like that where you just like, you spend more time laughing when you shouldn't be.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Like I never had anything like that. Like when I was in high school, mm-hmm. the high school show on at the time, what I think was like Gossip Girl. So I was like, it was not relatable.
Right.
I wasn't in bars in New York. I wasn't like, this is like me.
Well, I think that's where TV changed. And I think I don't know how I feel about it. You know, I work in television, so do you. And it's just a weird thing because TV used to be, this is what life is like and let us show it to you.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, it became, this is the life you should want and let us show it to you. And then there was a shift of, wow, that's me versus, ooh, I need to be that.
Oh, that's true.
Right. And that's where the shift for me, the disconnect happened. I'm like, I don't relate to anything other than watching.
Yeah. Yeah. But then like every once in a while now there will be a show that you're like, oh,
and then it's groundbreaking. Oh my God. It's like, no, this is what we want. Relatable guys. We want black people. We want fat people. We want skinny people. We want gays. Right. We want trans. We want everything that like, give it back to us, please.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is what Gossip Girl should be doing.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Gossip Girl doesn't work anymore. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and the more empowered people become, the less those shows are going to work because, you know, more and more people are going to go, why? That's an unattainable version of life. And I'm done trying to give myself anxiety and you know, body dysmorphia or complexes because I'm watching, you know, a Jenner do something that I could never possibly ever, ever, ever do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right. No shade to the Jenners, but just like a little shade to the Jenners.
Yeah, exactly.
A little shade.
There are a lot that's wrong. But I that just reminded me, there is a newer show that I did start watching that I do really like. It's not like exactly relatable. It's called Betty on HBO, and it's about these this group of like young women. I think they're supposed to be like 20 and they're like skateboarders in New York. And so they're just like, they're just trying to like be skateboarders in this male dominated skateboarding world. But then, you know, they're like, they're not well off. Like they come from these like homes that like, you know, and it's just like, it's kind of just a very like chill show where like, you just kind of watch them go through life. Like nothing like crazy happens. But I really was like, oh, this is just like nice. It's just like completely different.
Totally. And I think that's what's missing. I think that's what's missing in films. Although movies I sort of give a pass, not sort of because I am the keeper of the keys. but movies I sort of let go because I'm paying $24, $12, whatever dollars to go to the VIP to sit down, unplug from the rest of the world and just watch this spectacle on a giant screen, or when we used to go to giant screens, but on a giant screen. So whatever it is, whether it's unattainable, I know that because the scope of what I'm watching is far, it's clearly something else. But when you're bombarded episode after episode after episode of things, that's why, for example, I couldn't get into Mad Men. People were like, oh, you don't watch Mad Men? I said, let me explain something to you about Mad Men. Just about me. When I watch a television show, I want to be engaged. I want to be represented or fall deep into what's going on with you and care. Mm-hmm. Now, when I look at a show like Mad Men, the era in which Mad Men existed, if I existed, every character in that show would think I'm a piece of shit in that era. So why on earth, as a black male watching a bunch of white rich men's problems, do I care? I don't care. Like if I jumped into the screen, bling, I can help you. Get out of here, Negro. Like that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why on earth do I care that the guy who's cheating on his wife, but he really loves his wife and she stole all his money and did it? I'm like, I don't care. Like I don't care. I don't sympathize with any of you. Side note, I was watching a show and then they were talking about the Great Depression and I just realized something. When the Great Depression hit, and I'm not talking about the families, the working class families that took a hit because the businesses went belly up. But basically, the Great Depression was a bunch of rich white guys who lost their money and then jumped out a window because they were poor.
Yeah.
Right. like that's what it, like, think about that. Oh, shit, we're poor now? I'm killing myself. What? What?
Right, everyone else is... People have been living like this.
Yes. This is a thing. This is not new. And these guys are jumping out of Wall Street windows because the stock went crazy. And you're like, oh, wow, you don't know how to live like us.
Yeah. Oh, that is so crazy.
You know, but it's like America's Great Depression. No. Wall Street went bonkers because they had to be poor for a couple of years.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. That is wild.
Because everybody else was looking for a job, tightening their belt, selling off their shit, working for blah, blah, blah. But Wall Street guys are killing themselves because they were poor?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. God. All right. I get it. I get capitalism now.
Yeah. Hopefully mental health has come a long way. But
right?
But to what you were saying about like Mad Men, like I never watched it either, but even that whole era, Breaking Bad, I did watch Breaking Bad and it's a good show, but it was like the whole anti-hero thing. I'm like, I get it, flawed characters, but there's a point where they're like, I'm like, this person is just bad. And
you're a bad guy.
And you're a bad guy. You're not an anti-hero.
Yeah, you're a bad guy.
Yeah. I can't root for you.
Yeah. My brother will call. My brother and I have this. We don't talk all the time, but we have the best shorthand. Just to give you an example, he calls me the other day and he goes, let me tell you something about Sony. Sony and Fox are hilarious because they're da-da-da and they're giving the middle finger to all the fans. Now, he goes on this rant for about 3 minutes and I'm like, yeah, I know. And then I stop and I go, you realize that the movie you're talking about is so bad that you haven't even mentioned the movie's name, and we both know what it is because we're talking about the new Carnage Venom trailer.
Oh.
So we were insulting this movie for like 10 minutes without having said it. And I said, you realize we speak the same language. We just burst into laughter. But yeah, it's to your point. Like, I think, you know, he calls me sometimes and we're like, what? When certain writers write things and you're like, why is the character doing that? Like, how does that character allow to get away with that thing? Why am I supposed to go, that's okay? No, it's not. You just murdered a person for no reason. Like when spoiler alert, when he let the girlfriend die in Breaking Bad, that was it for me. I was like, you're the devil,
right?
You're the bad guy now. You're gone. I'm done with you.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think I stopped watching that show after like the third or fourth season.
It became a great acting piece more than it became a great story. If that makes sense. I think everybody's performances became so fantastic that, you know, and so you just sort of followed it because of that. But
yeah,
he's not a good person.
No. You know? Yeah, exactly.
I literally said that last night. I hate horror movies now because now horror movies always have this like third or fourth reveal where before it was you and I are locked in the woods. There's somebody chasing us with a fucking hockey mask. We do all this stuff. We crush them. We hitchhike. We're home. End of movie. It's all good.
Yeah.
Right? Now it's like all of that stuff still happens. We hitchhike. We get in the car. We're good. We're safe. But then the license plate of the truck shows that it's actually part of the killer's thing and we're being driven off to die anyway. And it's like, well, then what was the point of me sitting for 2 hours to watch these people escape? If you're just going to double, like, make it so that they don't escape, just kill them and let me see them die.
Like, yeah, right. Something like,
why is it just like, oh, we got away. Oh no, he's the killer too. Like, okay, every movie now has that. Every movie.
Yeah, that is weird. It's like there's no like happy endings and things. It's like where they don't make rom-coms anymore. No. It's like I don't like it.
Well, I have an issue with rom-coms, and it's only as I become more woke, which I hate that word, but whatever. Rom-coms, I think, are actually trash.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. Not that they don't have this like warm, fuzzy feeling, but
yeah.
The average rom-com, not saying all of them, but the average rom-com, the message is, if a woman says no, browbeat her till she says yes.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Even her friends are like, but he likes you. Yeah, but I don't like him. But he's doing nice things, so you should like him. But I don't like him. I'm happy where I am. No, like, it's all about not listening to your gut. And that because he's doing these grandiose gestures, well, you should like him because he likes you that
much.
He should be the one. And that always, you know, that made me the guy at school who would like a girl for fucking 2 years and go crazy and try and do all this stuff and then be mad when she dated some jock. And you're like, but I did all this stuff.
It is true. Like, a lot of them, like, don't hold up way like under today's scrutiny, which is like, I guess it's why they can't make them in the same way.
No.
It's true. And one of them that I think is like the worst is Say Anything. Like, the standing outside with the stereo, that is bad.
Stalker much? Like, you crazy?
That whole movie, what? Like, actually, I didn't see it until I was like in my 20s. And then I was like, oh, people think this is romantic. This is not good.
It's not. That's why I like John Hughes, because Ducky, when you look at it based on the old, you know, the old, and even then it was not old, it was the time. Like, Ducky is doing all that. He's there for her. He listens to her. He's the shoulder. He gives her advice. Like, he takes the ridicule. And at the end, where he's like, I have earned your love, she's like, actually.
Right.
And you're like, oh, it does happen that way. My courting you does not earn me anything.
Yeah.
Anything. And I think, and then on the other side, it gives women this version. And I say women, I'm being very generic right now, but It gives women, or I'll say it this way, it gives people on the other side of the conversation this expectation that if you love me, then these are all of the things that you have to do. And if you don't do all of these things, then you don't really love me. And it gives it gives you a sort of false expectation of what a person who loves you does.
For sure.
Because not everyone has the same love language, right? So maybe mine is time and touch and not gifts and words of adulation or whatever.
But
yeah,
it's true. And then like the whole like friend zone thing became a thing, mm-hmm. and it was mm-hmm. like, well, that's not a real.
I mean, I think the friend zone is a real thing. I just don't think it's a negative thing. I just don't think it's bad. It just
exactly.
It's just a thing. It's not.
Yeah, it's just like
it's not a punishment.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a punishment, but again,
yeah, it's like. Poor you. You have to be friends with a woman.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a woman that I've been chasing for like for a while back in the day. And I was like, and one of the things I said is, if it's not going to work out, let me, like, if this is not a thing, tell me flat out. So I stop doing this, because it makes me think that there's a chance. So if there's zero chance, you just tell me. And I'm cool being friends, but like, don't spare my feelings, because it gives, I'm living on the hope that, right?
Yeah.
And I said, but the only caveat is, if you do change your mind some point while we're friends, let me know so I can decide if I want to jump back on that wagon or say, no, I'm good. But it was being a friend is not a punishment. And I think that's another thing. That's what those movies sort of say. Like, let's just be friends. Just be friends.
Yeah.
I have people that I'm better friends with than I was with anyone I've ever dated.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we dated, we wouldn't have been friends the way that we are friends.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the friend zone is a real thing, but it is not a negative zone. It is a completely alternate path that is just as good.
I love that. And I love your approach. Open communication is everything. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've kind of ran out of time here.
You only do 44 minutes. I got you. I'm teasing. Well,
unfortunately. I always like to end with like a few quick questions. Mm-hmm. We didn't get into this. Like, who is your celebrity crush?
Celebrity crush back in the day, Pink, before she went all rock. Still after she went all rock, but definitely Pink was
Pink with the pink hair.
With the pink hair and like the hip hop vibe. Nice. Maybe rapid fire. Mila Jovovich to this day, future, past, present, constant. Those were my go-tos. Halle Berry, of course. Mm-hmm. And the guys, and I don't mean crush like sleep with crush, but like wish I was them. Yeah. Brad Pitt post 12 Monkeys. I was like, ooh, if I came back as a white guy, that's the white guy I want to come back as. same thing, Denzel Washington is one of those guys that I wish I want to come back as. Sorry, next question, so I don't burn all your time.
That's okay. No, it's totally. If you could like live in a sitcom or like with a TV family, who would it be or which one?
I'd have to say anyone that gets me superpowers. Whichever one I could have powers in. So
yeah. Oh, side note, did you watch WandaVision? You must.
Yes, of course. Love it. Yes. It's a genius show. Genius. We'll get into that on another time, but genius.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could. Okay, I don't know if this is like too broad, but like if you could like pick your own Avengers, make your own Avengers out of superheroes, like you can pull from wherever. Mm-hmm. Like who would you have on your team?
Flash, one. Batman, two. I'll pick five. Batman, two.
Okay.
This guy called Icon, who's essentially the Black Superman, for lack of a better comparison. The Blue Marvel, who's not well known, but look him up. He's more powerful than Superman and he's a Black dude. And then it's a toss up between like Iron Man or Spidey. Like it depends what version of Spider-Man and it depends what version of Iron Man.
Right.
So that's where I would leave an open space to see.
They'd audition.
That's my quick fire. I'm sure if I sat down for an hour, I'd have another one.
For sure.
If I had any power, I'll tell you this, even though I would love the Flash, I would love to be a technopath, which is a person who can build anything out of anything. Like, I'll take your toaster and add your phone, and now it's a time machine. You're like, what?
Cool.
Like, yeah. So that would be the more practical.
Who has that power?
His name is Forge.
Okay.
He's an X-Men. He's not a well-known X-Men, but yeah, his name is Forge, and he can build anything out of anything.
Nice. X-Men was always my favorite.
Yeah.
Cartoon.
Hey, Bob. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, Professor.
I always liked Rogue. She's like a Southern accent.
Hey, Sugar. Another one, me and my brother call each other routinely. Yeah. My brother calls his daughter Hope Phoenix. She's not Hope Summers. Her name is Olivia, but he calls her, he's like, she's so smart. She's like Hope Summers, which is the daughter of Scott Summers and Jean Grey. She's also a telepath. She's like Hope. I'm like, you are. My brother speaks in pop culture. Like, you should talk to him because his references, it's like the Beast thing. And I'm like, Beast? What do you, how? What? Oh, she's really smart. Okay. What, dude, speak in English.
Yeah. I was like, that's not what other people call a beast.
Yeah. It's really
funny. Oh, I love it. Okay. Well, those are the questions that I have.
Nice.
Yeah, but where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at The Messiah Complex, M-A-S-S-I-A-H, not Messiah like Jesus. I'm also, if you're an actor and you need coaching or taping, markanthonymessiah.com, no spaces, is my website. I started my own studio, my own acting studio. Right now it's online, and then I'll be going to a space once this COVID thing lightens up. And then troll hunting on Facebook is the other place. I'm just usually just, I find trolls and obliterate them. So
beautiful. Love it. Yeah. All right. And then for the podcast, you can follow the Instagram account at Dearest Pop Culture, and be sure to subscribe and tell your friends and leave a nice review. And that's it. We'll see you next time. Bye.